book and a dish on 702.
14 minutes to 6. This is the way we end the week on 702 Drive. We spend time with somebody that you know, but you don't know everything about them. And we try and find out some rather different things by asking them to pick a favorite song, an inspiring book, and talk about food, either because it's food they particularly love or food that stirs up memories of time spent with family and friends. 40 years ago, a young woman from Dobsonville in Soweto burst onto the music scene. In 1984, her debut album was called I'm in Love with a DJ. I think you know who I'm talking about. Welcome to 702 Drive, Yvonne Chaka Chaka. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Good evening, John, and to your listeners, and thank you very much for having me.
So, as the young Yvonne Machaka, who was the first singer that you heard either on radio or maybe you saw them live where you said, I want to do that?
Well, I think the first person I saw live performing, with even no money to go to a live show, but when I eventually had money, it was funny. It was at Colosia, thanks to my brother-in-law, may his soul rest in peace. It was Brooke Benton. You believe it?
Yeah.
At the Colosia.
Okay. So that was in the heart of Joburg. And how old were you when you saw Brooke Benton?
I must have been 18 or 17.
Okay. And before that, I mean, you're in primary school in Dobsonville. You go to high school. You then go to school in Mamelodi. Are you in school concerts? Are you in performing in school plays? Are you getting up on the stage?
I love singing in the players at school. And I think because, you know, we used to have something called assembly when we were young. Mm-hmm. So we were praying. And this particular day, the teacher said, okay, girls, you know, give us a song before we read the Bible. And nobody did. He said, all the boys must go to class, all the girls were beaten up. And on that day, I said, I don't care whether I've got a squeaky voice or I'm not going to stand this.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to start the song, the hymn at the assembly. And it became just one of those things.
So you've spoken a lot about your mom. You lost your dad at a young age, and your mom, a domestic worker, had to really hold the family together. Is she someone for whom music was important?
No, my father had a great voice. In fact, my father had a beautiful whistle. It was like a bird.
Uh-huh.
But mom couldn't sing at all, you know, and music was her thing. I think my mother, Kay, was just this very strong woman who thought, as much as she was not educated, education was the best thing. You know, she always said to the three girls, to Doreen, Drisile, and myself, I don't want you to end up like me, being domestic worker. I want you to study and be self-sufficient and be empowered. And as a young girl, you think, why must be me? Should I be empowered? I'll get a husband. They'll buy me a car. They'll buy me a house. Things like that. But my mother was just ahead of her time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, so you wouldn't hear her singing in the house or whatever. Was there music playing in the house? Was there a radio? I don't know if I should call it a stereo or back to the days of the gramophone, but was there music in the home?
Wi-Fi. Not Wi-Fi. Hi-Fi.
Yes, I was going to say. Where did you get Wi-Fi? Yeah.
They had the biggest hi-fi in the townships. It's the thing missed. You have a Wi-Fi and you've got speakers.
Yes.
Now, in the townships, you take your speakers and put them outside the house. You know, that's what we do. And on a Saturday, it's whoever's hi-fi is blasting high with the music. So my dad loved doing that.
Who chose the playlist?
Dad had all the music, all the new music, you know. I remember Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing, and people were coming and standing by our fence listening to this song. My dad bought every vinyl. Every Friday, Dad came home with a new vinyl, from Louis Armstrong to Mahalia Jackson, you know. In fact, he had this one, Roots, which he always hid. And Miriam Makeba's record, vinyls, I don't know where he got them from. And those he would hide in his bedroom. But, you know, in the townships, when you have the speakers, you put them outside, and it depends whose speakers is playing high.
So, Yvonne, When do you think your career started? Was it a particular concert? Was it a particular experience in the studio? Was there a moment where you thought, okay, this is really happening and I can make this my life?
I must say, I never saw myself as a musician, I must say. Mm-hmm. It just came as a surprise. But a friend of mine took me to a concert at Ellis Park in 1984. And there was Brenda Fassie, there was PJ Powers, Joni Clegg. And it was a great woman whom I really admire even today. Your mother, Ina Pellman.
Okay, those were the
great shows that we did for Operation Hunger.
Right, the concert in the park.
And
702 were partners in that venture.
Well, I wouldn't know, because at the time I was not even in the music industry, but it was just so beautiful, just admiring PJ Powers, Brenda Fassie, mm-hmm. Steve Kekane, you know, and these were all South Africans, and it was all colors of people being at the stadium. Mm. And I admired that very much. But fast forward, I passed my matric the following year, couldn't go to university, and I found myself at Commissioner Street. And this guy, Louis Chope, took me to Defund Records, and it all started there.
I want to go, because I'm so caught up with the music stories that I mustn't forget that we also have to do books and food. Let's talk about books. You've chosen something called Servings of Self-Mastery, Bite-Sized Pep Talks to Unlock Greatness. And the author is Alistair Mokoena, a leading marketer in South Africa. I think he's just become the head of Google South Africa. But amongst the books that you've come across in your life, that one's really special. Tell us why.
I guess because just being a PhD student at Henley and being very interested in personal mastery and, artificial intelligence, I thought this book resonated very well. And just reading it, I wish I'd gotten hold of this book when I was studying.
Yes.
Instead of me, finish. I've just finished my PhD, busy with my MBA. But I think it's just such a great book because it just says to yourself, it teaches you about personal effectiveness, and you say when you've got some action and you don't use that action, there's some kind of consequences. So I'm just very happy that it's a book I would recommend to anyone to read, because personal mastery is something that is very important.
And Yvonne, you've traveled the world, you've eaten all kinds of food, but when we asked you for your choice of dish, you brought it right back home.
It doesn't matter whether I'm in Hawaii or in Hanoi or in Ethiopia, but for me, when I'm like really satisfied, it's when I've had my iphuthu and in my inkomas.
And was that something that was, can I call it comfort food while you were growing up? Was it really a staple?
No, it was definitely not the staple. My mother makes the best puthu, mm-hmm. and I think I've sort of surpassed her. I make the best puthu. My sons know that. It's something that makes me feel just comfortable. I really love it. My mom was a very good cook. Mm-hmm. And for the fact she worked as a domestic worker, I mean, we didn't come from a very rich family. We came from a quite moderate family, but my mother would mix things. She would take bones and put cabbage and put dombolo there, and she augmented some things and she made very good food. So there was no day that we slept without food. But for me, inkomazi with iphuthu and a little bit of fresh cream, that's my delicacy. Give me, take your sushi, take whatever.
Yes.
If you don't give me that, I'll be quite upset.
So, food is obviously nourishment and all the things we eat it for and enjoyment. But meals are also family time. Was that an important part of life in Dobsonville with your mom, Rafilwe and Doreen? Did you always make a point of gathering and not just to eat but to talk as well?
Well, Monday to Thursday, anybody will eat at the time they wanted to eat. But every day we made sure that when Dad comes with fish and chips, we all sit and have our fish and chips. I mean, my mother, ever since I knew her, and my dad, I mean, he died when I was 11 years old. But until that time, I knew Fridays we never cooked at home. My dad comes with fish and chips. And because I was the baby of the family, there'll be a little bit of Russian for me.
Yes.
And that's it. And every Saturday, without fail, Dad will wake up in the morning, clean the kitchen, and off he went to play dice because he was a gambler.
Your song that you've chosen is 60 years old, in fact, this year. It's an absolute classic, Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come. I'm sure your musical library is infinite, not just physically, but in your own head, and yet you've picked this song. Tell us why.
I remember listening to that song as a young girl. And, you know, you just listen to the song, and sometimes you miss the words as a young girl. You don't even understand what the man is saying. But you know when he says, I was born by the river in the little tent, and you think, this is an American. How can you be born in the little tent? And he's afraid to die because he doesn't know what's happening on the other side. And I just love that song. And for a very long time. Just one of my favorite songs.
Well, thank you so much, not just for this song, which you've chosen to share with us tonight, Yvonne Chaka Chaka, but for all the music you've made and all the things you've done over a rich career. Long may it continue, and thanks for giving us your time on 702 Drive.
Thank you, John, and thank you to Tsego Faso and all your listeners. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, yes, it will. It's been true.